measurement of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Is it all right to praise God in his sanctuary? We're thankful that the great God of heaven has granted us yet another opportunity to be assembled with the saints of God. And we're so thankful for our persons that have come from both near and far. If you're visiting with us this morning, we are thankful that God blessed us to have you in the assembly. If you're visiting with us by way of television this morning, again, thank God that you paused the dial. Just stay with us for a few moments. And for those of you who are live streaming this morning, we pray that you would just stay with us and that the signal will be strong. Because this morning we want to praise God. Praise ye the Lord. Start off in the Psalms. The scripture reading came from Psalm 90 and verse number 12. And I'll just tell you about the Psalms. And some of the Psalms, of course, they have what is called callbacks. That is, the cantor would say a word, say a verse, and then the congregation would have a callback. And I'm going to ask you to help me this morning because we're going to have a callback from the scripture just following that pattern. And I've entitled the lesson this morning from Psalm 90 and verse number 12. I've entitled the lesson, What Time Is It? What time is it? Now, that's my part, your callback part. When you hear, what time is it? Your callback is later than you think. Let me try this and see how this works. What time is it? What time is it? It is later than we think, brother. It is later than we think, sister. Did anybody check the time this morning? Did you get your watch and you look at your watch or look at the clock? Lord have mercy. Sometimes we spend more time getting ready than we do praising God. The hourglass of our lives is ticking. Did you know that? The sands of time are running through our hourglass. I remember on my 35th birthday. Yes, I can still remember back that far. And I had a birthday party. My wife had a surprise. Well, it wasn't a surprise. We had a birthday party. Had some folks come over, and one of the people that came, Brother John Bell. Y'all know, not a lot of y'all know Brother John Bell. On my 35th birthday, and Brother Bell gave me a present. And he said, open up your hands. I got something for you. And I opened up my hands, and he gave me 35 cents. And I looked at my gift, and I said, thank you, Brother John. And he said, do you know what's going on there? I said, well, no, not exactly. He said, well, we have 70 years according to the word of God. If by reason of strength, there may be 80 years. But he says, I've given you this 35 cents because each one of those pennies represents a year. And he gave me some wise counsel. You know what he said to me? He said, spend each one wisely. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. What time is it? All right, I thought you'd lost it that quick. It's later than you think. The psalmist says in Psalm 90 and verse number 10, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80. Get this, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for we are soon cut off and we fly away. What time is it? It's later than you think. And since it's later than we think, brothers and sisters, listen, I just want to propose this morning that we spend our time wisely because it's later than we think. It's time for us to focus on living for God. I'm so glad that the great God of heaven, in his wisdom, in his infinite mercy, that he set aside a time where we can remember his son, Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, some of y'all mind went a whole different way. You went sideways this morning. Some of y'all thinking, well, yeah, I know it's the day before that day we got on the calendar. And somebody say, hope you don't preach too long because I got to go and do my last minute shopping. All right. I believe somewhere in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 8. This is not in the scripture. This is free. So you can write that down. Go back and look. It says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. When are we going to learn to be satisfied with what God has given us? That's another lesson. Another lesson, another time. But brother, listen, my wife and I went out to the mall on last night. Can somebody say, Lord, have mercy? And I said, why you want to go out to the mall? She said, there's some good sales going on right. And when you got there, there were so many folk, you had to wait before you could turn into the parking lot. And then when you went into the store, I knew already they ain't got nothing in here that is worth me waiting in line to pay for it. It's like a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things which he possessed. It's later than we think, brother. It's later than we think, sister. It's time for us to focus on living for God. He already told us what he wanted us to do in remembrance of him. And that's why the table is spread every Lord's Day when you come into the house of God. This is what the Lord said, do in remembrance of me. It's later than you think. What time is it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Get this word. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That your labor is not in vain. Did you understand that? The only thing that we do in this life that is truly going to count is the work that we do for God. And it is always right, no matter what the time is, to focus on living for God. Spend our time wisely. Count the days, count the times. Let us number the days that we might know our frailty, that we might know that we have little time to serve God. We want to serve him with our might. It's time to go to work for God, brothers. Time to go to work for God, sisters. In John 15 and verse number 8, the Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear, what's the word? Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. We're about the business of bearing fruit for God, that producing for God, bringing men and women to an understanding of the Word of God, bringing them into the body of Christ, saving those that are out there that are on the vine, and the labor truly is plenteous. The harvest is truly plenteous. The laborers are few. And it's time for us, brothers, it's time for us, sisters, to go to work for God. Whatever you're going to do, whatever you're going to do for God, whatever I'm going to do, whatever we're going to do for God, you know, we've got right now to do it. Did you know tomorrow is not promised? Tomorrow is not promised. And I tell you, that seems to sink into my brain more and more every single day that God grants me. Lost very four very close family friends on this year, family and friends this year. And you know what? You know what folks said? Well, I was just talking to him the other day. I didn't know. You know, nobody knows. We don't know what day, we don't know what hour that the Lord will return, or what day or what hour that we might be getting out of here. What time is it? Later. What time is it? Later. It's later than you think. So whatever your hands find to do, whatever we're going to do for God, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Let's be about the business of working for the Lord, doing the job that God has called for us to do. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 6, it lets us know that every one of us has got at least one gift. Everybody got something. Everybody's got something that God has given us that you may use for God. Some of you might be two gift brothers and sisters. Use both of those gifts to the name, honor, and glory of God. Some of you may be five gift brothers and sisters. Use all of those gifts and those talents to bring glory to God. Praise ye the Lord. Why? Because it's later than you think. Give glory to God. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 6, the Bible says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given, to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Whatever your gift is, use it to the best of the ability that God has given you. Use that gift, brother. Use that talent. And you know who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Sometimes we want to sing our own praises. Look, it's not about us. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about me. Amen. We're just a lump of coal, but God can use us, brother. And if we put us under the right stress, you know what happened with a lump of coal? It become a diamond someday. Amen. I haven't seen any of these sisters yet saying, baby, did you get me a lump of coal? But you know that's how it started out, right? You let a sister walk in here with a charcoal briquette on her finger. Somebody got that. Where's the barbecue? But I'm telling you, it's not about us, the lumps of coal. You know what the difference is? God in us. Amen. Give glory to God. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to us, use your gift, whatever the talent is, whatever the gift is, use it to the name, honor, and glory of God. Now in Romans chapter 12, I said before, there is a checklist of various gifts, various talents, various ability that God has blessed us with. And if the Lord blesses us that we should see 2018, brother, let us maximize, sister, let us maximize these gifts to the name, honor, and glory of God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 7, ministry. That word ministry means service. Are there any servants in the house of God? Jesus Christ himself did not come into this world, did not come into this land to be served. He came into this world to serve. And if the Lord served, amen. What about you and me, brother? There's no job that is too small to do in the kingdom of Christ. And if there is no providential or biblical hindrance, there's no job that's too big for us to do. Do the work, use the gift that God has given us. In verse number 7, teaching. Teaching the word of God. And when we teach and when we preach the word of God, brother, sister, listen, let's do it to the best of our ability. I don't want to throw Alicia Keys out here on you, but I got to throw some little Alicia Keys on there. Alicia Keys, now y'all stay with me now. She has a song in the verse of the song. She said, when you hold me like it's the last time. If you're going to kiss me, oh wait, like the last time. The point is, she said, that you might never see me again. The point is that we don't know when the last time is we're going to have a chance to do something to the name, honor, and glory of God. And every time we do it, do your best. Amen. Do your best, my brother. Do your best, my sister, to the glory of God and that God have the glory. On exhortation. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 8, does anybody ever need a word of encouragement? I said this on the last occasion. That I had this little picture that was on my wall in the office when I used to have an office. And it says, a pat on the back is only a few vertebrae removed from a kick in the pants, but it's a mile ahead in results. That was pretty fast. Do I need to slow that down for you? A pat on the back is only a few vertebrae from a kick in the pants. See, that? I kept my balance there, brother. But it's miles ahead in results. Brothers can testify to this, boy, when your wife come and she say, baby, you did a good job. What are you? You ain't seen nothing yet. You think that was something? A pat on the back. But she come home and you done tried to cook some slap your mama potatoes and you burned a little bit of the potato smoke in the house and all the dishes are messed up and it's like, ooh, Lord, look like a hurricane done come through here. Aren't you ready to go like, you know what, I'm going to get up and cook some more of these in the morning. No. See, the point is, if you've got the gift of encouragement, encourage brothers, encourage sisters, hold them up and let them know that God will continue to bless you, my brother. He that ruleth. I'm so thankful that we're in a congregation that we have elders. Man, we need elders. We need overseers to shepherd the flock of God and pray God that they might be able to do it to the best of their ability, that they might look over the flock of God, that they might make sure that everything is done according to the pattern that we find in the word of God. Let him that ruleth, brother, listen, sister, listen. We need sisters that are with their husbands that are serving in leadership capacity to help them to do the best job that they can. He that showeth mercy, don't go around bragging when you done showed mercy on somebody. You know, yeah, I could have beat him down. I could have beat her down. But, you know, I let them off the hook this time. You know, back in 1960, let me tell you what they did back then. Don't hold on to that stuff. When you show mercy, let it all go. Be merciful. Be kind-hearted. Don't hold on to the stuff that's already happened in the past. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Now, that word dissimulation, the big word just means don't fake it. Don't fake it. Listen, who do you love in the kingdom of Christ? Okay, thank you, brother. Was that you, Brother Gary? Brother Gary, somebody said everybody over here. Some of y'all didn't answer because you had to think about it. Don't we love all of God's people? Don't fake the love. There's a song in there somewhere. Don't fake the love. We are to love all of God's people, from the least to the greatest. Let love be without dissimulation. And let me tell you something. The greatest among us, they're going to get a whole bunch of love. But you know who we need to make sure that we concentrate on? Those folk that are feeling left out. Those folk that are feeling looked down upon. Don't fake the love. What time is it? Oh, y'all are falling asleep, all right? What time is it? It's later than you think. Abhor evil. Hate evil. You want to hate something? Don't hate folk. Hate evil. And turn away from evil. Abhor it. Hate evil. Turn away from it. Cleave to that that is good in verse number 9. Hold on to the right thing. Hold on to the good. In verse number 10 of Romans chapter 12, be kindly affectioned to one another. Do you know how to treat people nice? Okay, wait a minute. Thank you, brother. Let me try it again. Do you know how to treat people nice? Yes. Brother, listen. Sister, listen. In the church, Lord have mercy, when we come to the sanctuary, when we come to the house of God, there ought not be nobody that's not treated nice. Yes. Did I use enough double negatives in that? Listen, treat everybody right. Be kindly affectionate to one another. You know what the mark of the church of Christ is? Do you know what is going to identify us? Amen. Certainly, we got to preach and teach the doctrine. Amen. Titus tells us that the doctrine, Paul tells us in his letter to Titus, that the doctrine must be pure. It must be uncorrupt. And certainly, it's got to be serious. Amen. But you know what the mark of the church is? The love that we have one to another. Amen. The love that we have. And so, be kindly affectionate to one another, in honor, preferring one another. It was some brothers and sisters when we were leaving, I think, on Wednesday night, and we were out on the parking lot, or may have been last Sunday, and they were still standing out on the parking lot, and Brother Gary, it was Sunday, because I said, I guess Brother Gary didn't preach long enough. Y'all can't go home. He's still out here on the parking lot, huh? But you know what they were doing? They were loving each other, brother. They were sharing love, and you know what? They let me come into their fellowship. It's like, all right, you know, that's okay. It's like, be kindly affectionate. Boy, I tell you, we could spend some time on these things. There's a number of these items, but God has given everybody at least one. Amen. Everybody's got something. What time is it? Amen. We need to go to work for God. We need to use our talents, our skills, our abilities for God right now. Now, this is one, not slothful in business. Lord, have mercy. Lord, don't be lazy. We got any lazy people? Oh, I'm the only one. Yeah, I was talking with a sister last week about 15, 20 years ago, I bought a book on procrastination. And that book is on my bookshelf. And I've read all of chapter one. Some of y'all don't explain it to them later, you know. So. I'm not kidding. I read all of chapter one. But it's like, don't be lazy, don't be slothful about God's business. When God has put a work in our hands to do, brother, sister, listen, rise up and do the work. kick off the laziness. I was talking to my brother the other day, and I said, when I was in school, they gave me a book. It was an award. It was a prize, and it had some things in there, some quotes from famous people who had been, quote, unquote, successful in life. And, you know, one of the quotes in there, he said, I made it to the top the hard way, fighting my own ignorance and laziness every step of the way. Now, I'm going to get an amen on this. I know I got a whole lot of ignorance. Yeah. Thank you. I knew some. It's like, and laziness. You know, I got to fight my own ignorance, my own laziness every step of the way, because there's so much that we can do for God. And we don't have as much time as we think. It's later than we think. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 11, fervent in spirit. Don't you like zealous people? Like people, you know, I watch the football games every once in a while. There's a big game coming on today somewhere, I think. I do watch every once in a while. No, don't get started. Don't get started. But I noticed something, that when they go out there and they're getting ready to go out and get the defense on the team and everything, they got folk gathering around and they yelling and they screaming, they talking, they go on, what are we going to do and all this? They going to go out there, well, Brother Gary, you know about being out in the huddle, and we going to do this. And they huddle and they come out and they go out there, yeah, we going, and then the guy run a touchdown. No. But what they're doing is that they're pumping up the zeal. Does anybody need to be pumped up every once in a while? See, we're talking about stirring up the spirit of fervor, the fervent spirit among us. Now, a lot of y'all don't know about this, but there was a drink back when I was growing up. We used to call it Polly Pop. You have to be old people to know what Polly Pop is. And from a little country town, Kool-Aid. Now, you might not know this, but there was a time when the Kool-Aid did not come with the sugar already in it. And we had to put the sugar in it. And we had to stir it up. And we were drinking. My baby brother, he loved Kool-Aid today. Every time I go to Fort Worth, I know if I go his house, I'm going to get some Kool-Aid. Now, the thing about the Kool-Aid that we had back then, the Polly Pop, is that after you stirred it up and you sit it down and it sits in the refrigerator for a while, guess what would happen? Oh, y'all do know about that? So the sugar would settle down to the bottom. And if you wanted the same sweetness, we had to stir it up. And I'm saying, when we come to the house of God, we need sometimes to be stirred up. Why? What time is it? It's later than you think. And we don't have as much time as we would imagine to bring honor and glory and work for God. So we got to use this time wisely. Lord, teach us, oh Lord. Teach us to number our days, continuing our constant in prayer, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, rejoicing with those that rejoice, weeping with those who weep, mourning with those who do mourn. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, condescend to men of low estate. Listen, brother, we've got work to do in the kingdom of God. Lord, teach us to number our days. Can I get verse number 12, Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12, verse number 17. Let me get this one, guys. I might need to spend a little bit of time on this one, or do I just need to mention it and go? Romans chapter 12, verse number 17. Anybody ever heard of a singer by the name of James Brown? James Brown was the godfather of soul. Back when I was coming up, that's the godfather of soul. And we used to go to the skating rink on Thursdays in Fort Worth, and they'd be playing James Brown. And one of the songs that I get out there, yeah, I can skate, brother. I was out. And when the payback came on, everybody was out there. Payback. Yeah, payback. Okay, the payback. It's like, James Brown, I'm going to get you. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pay you back. You mess with payback. And we'd be skating with the payback. Now, the thing is, y'all don't know, I lived on the dividing line between two rival gangs at a whole different significance back then. All right, but I'm going to tell you something. It's like, payback. You know what the Lord says? He said, don't you pay nobody back for nothing. Recompense no man evil for evil. God got this. Don't put ourselves in the place of God. Let God do his job. He says, recompense no man evil for evil. But he goes on in verse number 17. He says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. When is it right to do what's right? When? Brother, listen. It's always right to do what's right in the eyes of God. Well, what if the other person ain't doing what's right? What if they're trying to get me? I'm going to pay you back, sucker. We had a movie, and we went to see that movie, and it was funny back in the day. There's the movie was titled, I'm Going to Get You, Sucker. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get you, sucker. But you know what? Yes, sir, I'm old. I'm old. And you know what I say? I say, thank you, Lord. I say, thank you, Lord, really. I never expect to live beyond 25 years of age. I didn't think I was going to get past that. And the Lord done doubled it up, and I'm heading out. It's like that 35 cents that Brother Bell gave me, I ain't got but 7 cents left. And one, another penny about to be spent. It's like, Lord, it's later than we think, brother. Our time is running out. The sands of time are running through our hourglass. In verse number 18 of Romans chapter 12, it says, live peaceably with how many folk? Is that still in the Bible? Anybody cut it out? Anybody draw a line through it? Live peaceably with all men, all women. Inside the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ, let us be men and women who seek after peace, who walk after and follow after peace, seek peace and ensue it, because it's later, brother, than we think. In James chapter 4 and verse number 14, the Bible says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. I don't care how many years you're here, all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. It's an amazing thing. And I look back and it's like, wow, I don't know where the time has gone. The pages on the calendar seem like they're just falling off. They're just falling off the calendar, falling off the calendar. All right, let me try to find a place to land here. In Psalm 39 and verse number 4, the Bible says, Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. You know what? People keep telling me that I'm resisting getting old. I'm not resisting getting old. I just feel like that you need to try to improve every day that God grants you. So I keep on trying to improve. I don't want folk, don't get mad at me because I'm trying to work out. Don't get mad at me because I'm trying to eat right. So I don't know, you know, but I guess that means that I am somebody because somebody told me you ain't nobody, you got haters. Y'all, see, younger people, y'all have to explain what that means to some of us seniors, you know. Yeah. It's like, but some folk are like, oh, that's like, so it's like people told me, you too old to be playing tennis. Well, no, well, you might be too old, but I can still move a little bit. You know, you can, but I'm saying, don't accept the limitations that other folk put on you. If you want to do a work to the name, honor, and glory of God, don't accept the limitations that other folk put. Oh, you can't do this. That's why when the 10 spies came back and gave a negative report about going up into the promised land, and the 2 spies and Caleb, and he says, let us go up at once. Let's do this. Because it doesn't depend on us. The limitations are the ones that we accept. If God has given us the power, the strength, the ability, brother, listen, say it certainly. Let us know that we're not going to be here for always, but the time that we have, we can use it to the name, honor, and glory of God. What time is it? It's time for those who are not members of the family of God. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, it's time for you to be in the church that Jesus built. Amen. Why? It's later than you think. Some folk at the beginning of last year were talking about getting closer to God. And here it is, we're almost at the end of the year. Jesus is coming back for his bride. And you want to be a part of the bride of Christ. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 9, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." He's coming back for his bride, brother. He's coming back. There's going to be a marriage feast for the Lamb. And you want to be a part of this. You don't want to miss this wedding, brother. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 8, the problem is that a whole lot of folk that are on the invitation list are going to get kicked off. It's in the book. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but get this, but they which were bidden were not worthy." You know what folk began to do? Make excuses. Make excuses. God does not accept any of our excuses, brother. You know, and when we know the difference between an excuse and a reason. An excuse is what I give in order not to do what I know I need to be doing. A reason is something hinders me providentially, prevents me from doing what I need to be doing. The wedding is ready, but they that were bidden were not ready. But maybe there's somebody here this morning that as we go out to the highways and the byways and we invite you to come in, maybe you're ready to come in. See, Jesus keeps sending folk out searching for servants in the kingdom of God. Brother Gary touched on this on last Lord's Day in Matthew chapter 20. The landlord, if you will, the householder, the homeowner, the field, he went out early in the morning. That day began at 6 a.m. He went out early in the morning to find folk to go to work in the vineyard. Then he went out the third hour, that's about 9 a.m. He went out to find more workers, more laborers to go into his vineyard. He went out about the sixth hour, that's about noon, and he hired others to go into the vineyard. And then he went out at the 11th hour. That's 1 hour before quitting time. He went out at the 11th hour, so the last that came into the field didn't even work an hour. But you know what all of them got? It doesn't matter when you come into the body of Christ. Right now is a good time. Why is it a good time? What time is it? It's later than you think. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you make up your mind that you want to live for Christ, that's repentance, turning from self and sin and turning to God. Peter preached that first gospel sermon as an accomplished fact in Acts chapter 2. And they heard the gospel of Christ. Amen. They believed it. How do I know? Because they asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he gave the same answer that gospel preachers are giving today. Repent and be baptized. How many? Every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, brother, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ain't God good? Yes. When do you think we ought to get right? Do we want to be those servants that are not worthy, that are kicked out? I don't think so. When do we need to get it right? So whether we are getting our relationship right with God, whatever that might entail, whether you need prayer or want to be baptized into the body of Christ. What time is it? It's later than you think. So we ought to do it right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
So be the way, oh Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Oh, Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. show me the way. And Lord, I'm your child. Lord, I am your child. Child, well, I'm down here, Lord, and I need your power to show me the way. And Lord, I'm your child, Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord, I am your child. Well, I'm down here, Lord, and I need your power to show.